The Money Show.
The Markets.
Well, markets were really interesting today, and we'll talk to Chris Stewart, our market commentator from 91, in just a moment or two. The JSE in positive territory for much of today, but after hitting 30,000 on the Dow Jones Industrial Average last night, it was inevitable that there was going to be some sort of vertigo at play, and we did see US markets open slightly softer. And as a result of that, the JSE lost many of the gains that it made during the day. We were down just 20 points, nothing serious, by the close. And one of the big factors on the market at the moment is the strength in the currency. It's actually quite unbelievable considering the double downgrade that we got on Friday evening. We had both Moody's and Fitch take us deeper into junk territory. Yet the Rand has continued to improve. 15.23 to the US dollar this evening, 20.39 to the pound, and 18.14 to the euro. I was on a platform today where I said to the economist Mike Schussler, I said to him, Mike, by Monday, stronger than 15? I don't think he did commit, but I don't think he disagreed either. So that's my bet. We'll be stronger than 15 to the dollar by Monday. Goodness knows how long it stays, of course, at that level, because only fools and idiots try to predict the currency. And I just did that. Which am I? Chris Stewart at 91. Talk to me about inflation, if you would. 3.3%. All of the economists we were chatting to this evening are suggesting it's nothing to worry about. And I don't think you're going to be too concerned, certainly not at this stage.
Yes, good evening, Bruce. I'm usually the fool that you try and get to call the currency, so I'm glad you stood in for me tonight. Let's talk about inflation. The inflation number, the first disappointing inflation number I can remember for quite a long time, and a relatively material miss versus consensus expectations that, inflation would stay at around the 3% level, coming in at about 3.3% today. So somewhat disappointing, driven predominantly by food and beverages as well as vehicle prices. Most of the rest of the basket still behaving relatively well. And let's just bear in mind, we're talking about a 3.3% inflation print when we've got a target band of 3 to 6. So we're still comfortably below the midpoint. It looks as though rate cuts are probably off the table for now, but I think it's likely to be some time still before we start talking about rate hikes.
What about the oil price? $48 a barrel, the assumption being that we get an effective vaccine or 6 or 10 or 150 and we get distribution and we get people vaccinated. People jump into their cars and go on long road trips just because they can, and jump on aeroplanes and go on holidays again, and consumption of fuel goes up and oil demand increases. Ultimately, that works its way into inflation as well.
Yeah, all part of the same cyclical trade that we're seeing globally right now. So we're seeing, the beaten up value stocks falling back into favor, cyclical stocks falling back into favor. And in line with that, we're seeing the gold price sell off quite aggressively and the oil price bounce back quite a lot. I guess the good news is, as fast as the oil price goes up in dollars, the rand continues to strengthen against the dollar. Somebody has told me that it's going to be below 15 on Monday. So I think we can deal with $46 oil as long as the currency continues to behave itself.
Yeah, I mean, it takes a brave person to call the currency, and the currency has been weirdly strong. I mean, uncomfortably strong. And it's just it defies all logic, considering that we are as deep in junk territory now as we were in 1994 at the dawn of our democracy. And gradually we said it started coming out of the various levels of junk until we became investment grade in 2009. But we're back to 1994 sort of junk levels, and the currency is behaving, like it's, I know it's almost Christmas, but it's behaving like it's Christmas already.
Yeah, I mean, it's ignoring degrees of junk, I guess. Further downgrades were not massively significant. They don't precipitate any particular flows in the bond market or non-discretionary flows in the bond market, if you like. We are also, I guess, looking at the currency that's still 10% weaker by and large across the board against the major crosses year to date. So we are still talking about a rand that has given up significantly more than an inflation differential so far this year. We're also looking at a market where on 10-year bonds, you can still get something around 8.75% nominal, perhaps 5.5% real in rands. That's about 5.5% real, more than you can get anywhere else in the world. Except possibly in a few other emerging markets who from a fundamental perspective don't stack up particularly well either. So the market's got the bit between the teeth. The risk on trade is in. Emerging markets are back in favor. And it really is, I guess, the flow of funds into both the local bond and equity market that is supporting the currency, even in the face of a fairly parlous fiscal outlook if you look too deeply into the
numbers. Yeah, okay. We enjoy the strength while it lasts. At some point, it becomes very, very damaging to the mining sector, becomes very damaging to exporters, but that's possibly some way off. It certainly is nice. It helps keep a lid on overall inflation. I'm not too sure that too many people are that concerned about the Lewis results, but it might tell us what's happening in the furniture industry. They saw a big jump in their dividend, which was kind of weird considering that they'd seen a calamitous period of sales.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Lewis Group at a sort of $100 million market capitalization right now has fallen off, I think, a lot of investors' radar screens. Used to be quite a fashionable business. There used to be a number of operators, JD Group, Ellerans, Lewis, all operating in the same kind of market, making quite a lot of money out of financial services and a little bit less money out of selling fairly questionable furniture. The industry, I guess, went through a major rationalization. Ellerans has disappeared. JD Group, by and large, has disappeared. Lewis still soldiering on and having produced a reasonably solid set of results over this period. Sales growth, certainly post the lockdown period, sales growth reacting very, very positively. So that was positive. They've got no real gearing on their balance sheet, which is exactly where you want to be. As a retailer in this environment, that's enabled them to pay a dividend over the period. And, you know, if I was analyzing Lewis in detail, the only area where I'd go in and have a real dig around is the debtors book. They do sell quite a lot of business on credit. They have indicated that their collections performance has deteriorated somewhat unsurprisingly over the period. And, you know, one would just need to look into that and see just how bad are the credit quality issues emerging in their book. It doesn't look too bad at this stage. But with some of the assistance being provided to the low end of the market, which is typically the customer base for Lewis, with some of those assistance programs looking to expire into the new year, unemployment having hit particularly the middle lower income markets harder than other markets, I would say that the outlook for Lewis is still going to be pretty tough.
Chris Stewart. He's our market commentator. He's a portfolio manager at 91. Thank you very much for joining us this evening.